Happy Wednesday, everybody. Thank you so much, as always, for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. I'm so excited you're here. We have more of your listener questions. We go all over the place on today's show. One of the things we discuss is how to strategically request a room to get what you're looking for. It might not be exactly what you thought. So we'll talk about that plus many other questions on today's show. Don't forget today's episode always brought to you by the great folks over at the Magic for Less Travel. Check out all the great services they offer absolutely free to you over at themagicforless.com. Also, please use our Amazon affiliate link anytime you shop online, brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. And finally, if you really want to help support the show while travel's down just a bit and get some extra content in your week, please consider becoming a patron. Just visit patreon.com/beourguestpodcast.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1752 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Wednesday to you. Hope this weekend is going well. The heat has returned here in the Midwest. It is smoking hot again. And you know what? It's the dog days of summer. So let's just embrace it. Stay inside, except for early in the morning and late at night. And, you know, take the podcast with you wherever you go. If you're washing the car, cutting the grass, we're right there in your ear. Both ears. We're in stereo. Actually, we're kind of in mono, but we're stereo if you want to. So anyway, we're going to be answering your listener questions, have the crew all assembled and getting ready to have a good time talking Disney. So joining us today, we have from touringplans.com and the Mouse for Less, and just returned from this past weekend down at Walt Disney World, we have Ricky. Ricky, what's up?
Hey, y'all. I had my first official Walt Disney World visit since all this happened, and it was so good to be back home. I will just say, like, it, you know what got me? Like, it wasn't the castle, which I thought that's what would get me. Like, you know, I would be a big blubbering mess when I saw the castle. That's not what made me tear up, though. What made me tear up was we actually ended up coming in from the back way around by the Grand Floridian. And I saw the Grand Floridian and the monorail swooping through, and I was like, oh, man, that's what did it. I was like, something so simple. So simple. It's the monorail just swooping through.
I thought you were going to say you saw the NBA bubble. You saw the blue
flames. Yes. I saw the place for the barbershop where they're getting their haircut. No, I did not.
Yeah, you're like, but, yeah. Brian needs a little buzz. He needs a half on the sides and back, a little finger length.
Oh,
need
a haircut.
Top.
I would have gladly paid for him to be able to go to the NBA place. You know what? So...
That's awesome. So we'll have to talk about that here briefly and get into that, because actually the first question will be good for you because you've been to the place somebody's asking about, but we're definitely going to talk about that over the next week because everybody has different experiences and it's so fun to figure out because everything's so weird right now.
It's different.
And also joining us, we have the co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel, Pam Forrester. Pam, happy Wednesday.
It's you know, I am getting ready actually to head down to Walt Disney World. I'll actually be leaving on Friday. We're staying there for an extended time. We're actually going to be working from there for a while.
Nice.
Well, you talked to the gardeners now. See, didn't you? Because he.
No, it just like I can always work from everywhere. So, so Steve can sort of come and go, but that's where I'm going to be stationed anyway. So. Looking forward to it, just to be someplace different. And we've had a number of guests who have contacted us doing the same thing, saying my kids are doing from home school, distance learning kind of thing, e-learning, whatever they call it. They call it something different at every school.
Yep.
Me and my spouse can work from anywhere. So guess what? We're going on a vacation that just as like, you know, maybe you get to go someplace different for dinner each night. So that's not a bad thing.
Well, too, and it's the ultimate incentive to either get your work done if you're the grown up or if you're the kid, right? To get your school work done. Because like, look, instead of going out and playing with your best friend that's next door, like, hey, get your work done. We'll go to the Magic Kingdom after school. I mean, come on.
Right.
Incentives. Got to dangle the carrot.
Right?
Yeah.
Lots of good stuff.
That's going to be great. I can't wait to hear about it. We actually have one in the can with Scott Gardner. He stayed at four different resorts, worked from there. So we have some tips coming up on a Monday show here in just a week or two. So be ready for that. And speaking of questions and comments and learning, we have a foodie question from Bob in Cape Cod, Massachusetts. And he says, have either of you or any of you eaten at City Works Eatery in Poorhouse at Disney Springs? Now, I've lived in the Poorhouse, but I've never eaten at the Poorhouse, and especially at Disney Springs. So he says, in particular, the brunch. The menu looks intriguing. Jumbo cinnamon rolls, you had me already. Beignets, yep. Totally in. Stuffed French toast, you're pulling me in, with Bailey's cream cheese and vanilla bean ice cream, etc. The meals themselves have some pretty hilarious menu names. The Doc of the Beignet, John Bon Jovi,
nice.
Johnny Hash, Chaka nice. Chaka Khan, just to name a few. I hear good things about other brunch places, but can't say I've heard anything good or bad about City Works. Thinking about giving it a try on my next trip. What do the experts say? P.S. Love the show, guys. Really makes my daily commute bearable. Can't thank you enough. Well, that's awesome, Bob. And hope you're doing well up in Cape Cod. All right, Ricky, I know you've been to the Poorhouse. I've lived there, but you've been there. So let's give a little. I don't know if you did the brunch, though. I don't think you did. You were there at night, right?
I have not done the brunch. I vaguely remembered them, like, mentioning it back in the day, you know, before all the COVID stuff happened. But then, like, kind of escaped my brain that they offered brunch. But man, with the names of some of those places or, you know, menu items, that sounds amazing. I really do like City Works, though. I've had one really good meal there and one fine meal there. Nothing like the first one was nothing to write home about. But again, it had just opened at that point. Like, I think it had been open for like maybe a few days. So I kind of gave them a little leeway on that one. The second time I went, though, it was really, really good. So I very much like City Works, you know, overall. I think that they've done a really good job with the venue. I think that it is the perfect place if you like beer. I think Pam can speak of that one. They have lots of beers on the menu. And the menu is very, very varied, I guess is the best way to put it. You know, mm-hmm. It's there's really something for everyone. And that's what I like the most about City Works is that there is definitely something for everyone. And if you're there to watch the game, I mean, there's no better spot basically, because the TVs there are gigantic and they have sports on all the time. So
bam, yeah. When there's sports and there's sports again, I mean, except for hockey's gone in St. Louis, but what can you do? Yeah, it sounds great. Now, Pam, have you been there yet? You've been to the
Poorhouse? I have a few times, actually.
Oh, my gosh. Really, I didn't know you've been there either. Okay, so give your review. I'm just out of the...
We do. We really like it. And the thing I sort of like about it is that, first of all, if you like beer, they have about 100 different beers available. Craft beers on tap. It is an ever-changing list of beers. And we've been there, actually, since... Walt Disney World opened back up, and now they give you sort of scan the QR code and all the list of beers come up. So it was awesome. I just, you know, it's a very sort of casual place, but the food is really good. And the thing that I've gotten there a couple times, because, you know, I do this thing where I try something, I like it, and then I'm afraid to like stray off of that. Mm-hmm. They have filet sliders that are so good, really, truly good. So give those a try if you're going to be there. The appetizers are awesome, too. I've had the Kung Pao cauliflower and a few other things there. So we've liked everything that we've had there. People that I know that don't drink beer have gotten the drinks and felt like that was good, too. It's just kind of a very casual place to go. And they have great food. The service has always been really outstanding. And we were talking to our waitress last time, and she actually told us that there are other City Works across the country, which I didn't know about. And it turns out there's one here in Pittsburgh. Really? How did I not know about this?
What? So that's awesome.
I know, right? So they do a great job. They actually have beer flights. Jocelyn is mentioning this and reminding me that they have a lot of beer flights. So the great thing about if you're a beer lover is that at times it's really challenging to pick a beer, just one, because you want to try a bunch of them. And the beer flight makes that possible. So love that too. Just a lot of things to like about it. It is absolutely worth the trip over to Disney Springs. And there's so many great places to eat at Disney Springs. I find mm-hmm. myself having a problem deciding where I want to go because they're all good. So it's like, oh, I want to go here, but I want to go here too, and I want to go here. So I knew in the back of my mind about the brunch, but we have not done the brunch. And when we first started talking about this, I actually pulled up the menu on my phone, and I'm, yeah, you're right. There are some yummy looking things on the brunch. So that is going on the list of things I must do.
So you'll find Pam there probably Sunday.
This weekend.
Yeah, exactly.
Sunday.
Yeah. No, but it, also with its location, I would imagine that it's pretty easy to get in because it's on that west side where without La Nuba happening right now, I don't think NBA Experience is open right now. I mean, there's not a lot happening down at that end of the, you know, so if you're looking to sneak in a place, this might be a good place to go.
It's definitely worth getting over there. And not only can you make reservations, here's the tip, right? You can make them through the Disney system, but you can also make them through Open Table. So that's another place to check if the Disney system does not have availability. But don't use that Open Table trick too often, because that's my trick.
Yes.
So, and you know I don't plan. So I need some things to be open at the last minute.
Yes, yes. Do as we say, not as we do. All right. Kathy's got a question. Hey, BOGP podcast crew, this is about the Christmas of 2020. I would like your opinion, since you've just returned from the world, on what your thoughts are on going down for 3 nights, 4 days, December 19th to the 22nd, and staying at Pop Century. We, too, live in St. Peter's, Missouri, and fly southwest, right here in my town. Do you think crowd levels will increase by then? I'm apprehensive to go without Fastpass and ADRs. Epcot is our least favorite park, seems to have the least amount of rides, and would have that as our first park day. Then 1 day each, and flying out, at 10 p.m. So we'd have all day on our last chosen park. Travel doesn't scare me. It's money spent versus what we'll actually get for our money. Thanks for always being my go-to for Disney advice. Kathy with an I. That's when somebody's got an I on the end, it just means, well, Ricky, you got an I on the end of your name. It's like, you're like a renegade. You're like, I'm not going with a Y. Y is heard by us. I'm in Kathy with an I. That's exactly right. All right. So no, give your thoughts. I mean, Ricky, give your thoughts. I mean, Epcot being her favorite part kind of lost me there for a second, but I can get back on the train here. And I get it. There's not as many rides and stuff. You just got to experience the atmosphere, but I would totally do it. But the crowds, I would imagine, will be bigger by mid-December, right before Christmas.
It kind of depends on how Disney decides to keep going with things. I mean, let's be honest, we don't know. You know, the way I was just there, obviously, this weekend, the crowds were extremely manageable, you know, very easy to deal with. And, you know, I had a really good time, even without Fastpass. I know that was kind of one of her fears. I was talking with the guys beforehand, and I said that my unpopular Disney opinion right now, and I know I'm going to get flack for it, is that I wouldn't be mad if Fastpass went away. I just wouldn't. So, I mean, that's unpopular, and I'm well aware of that, but
we tried to teach you the error of your ways before.
I understand. I get it. The error of my ways is definitely true. Understand.
Just
the other thing was I think I heard that she mentioned that she was worried about not being able to have ADRs. Another good thing is they're still offering you the ability to make advanced dining reservations. So you'll still be able to have, if that was one of your fears, you'll still be able to have dining reservations. Matter of fact, I had two that I made for this weekend, and I made them like within a couple days of my trip. So I was still able to get dining reservations even that close out. You know, it was fine. So for those who don't know, and I think Pam kind of talked about it, they have, instead of giving you menus when you get to the restaurants, though, they will give you a piece of paper with a QR code on it. You'll need to scan that. And if you don't know, you use your camera to scan the QR code. It'll allow a menu to pop up. You can look at the menu offerings there. Everything is really simple and easy. They make it, you know, the menus are a little pared down. Just kind of keep that in mind. Most restaurants. But, you know, it's, again, it's very simple to be able to dine at Walt Disney World. We did the mobile ordering as well. Had that experience at Pizza Rizzo. I know not a lot of people also like Pizza Rizzo. Brian and I do, which is like, it's one of our favorite places. I know we have horrible taste. It's fine.
Like Pizza Rizzo.
Yeah, exactly. We have horrible taste. I get it. It's
It's like, why is that restaurant still open?
I know, oh, I know.
It's Ricky Gosset.
It was actually really busy yesterday, too, which is kind of funny.
She loves that wedding reception vibe up on the
dude, we went into the wedding reception room and had so much fun. Oh, my gosh. We danced to all of the music that was playing.
It's like a VFW hall in the Midwest, I'm just saying.
It was so awesome. Oh, my gosh. It was so much fun. But the mobile ordering, again, you know, it's really easy, simple to do. You go on the app. And then you look at the menu, you place your order for what you want. And then when you get, make sure you, when you're near the restaurant, you click the I'm here button. Don't click it in, you know, when you're walking up to the cast member, because they will tell you to go and sit and wait until your food is actually ready to be picked up. So once it's ready, they will direct you to whatever bay or window or whatever that you'll need to go to. And then you'll be able to go pick up your order. And it's, again, really simple, easy. So Disney's making it very simple for people. And I had a great time. And I think you will, too, in December. So yeah. I say go for it.
I agree, too, because even if you don't do like, I mean, the thing is, you can make the ADRs, you're not going to have fast passes, you're probably not going to need them.
Right.
And going down that time of year, you're going to get all the atmosphere, the Christmas background loops, the decorations, just the, you're going to be, I mean, right before Christmas, when you come home, you're going to be like, you know, you're going to be like sweating mistletoe. You know, you're going to be ready to for Christmas to happen. You know, and it's because who knows, in Missouri, we might not have a white Christmas. You know, they'll simulate it, I'm sure, on Main Street to do something. You know, and you'll have all that Christmas spirit, worst case, and you're still going to ride a ton of rides, I promise you. So I would, mm-hmm. I mean, I think right now you don't need to take, you know, Scott's probably listening, but you don't have to take the month-long vacation. You can probably sneak in a four-day, you know, four-night, five-day, you know, three-night, four-day vacation and come home and still feel like, man, we got a lot done. You know, this is the time for, like, the extended weekend, you know, maybe a Monday to Friday. Pam, what do you think real quick on this topic?
I think that you don't have to worry about spending the money and not getting what you paid for. I know that that's a common concern of people right now, and it's hard to really express this without sounding, like, jerky about it, but you seriously don't worry about it right now. You're probably mm-hmm. getting more bang for your buck right now than you've gotten the past 5 years.
Yep.
And it's just because the amount of things that you're able to do and the passion of the cast that are there. I mean, Disney is continuously opening up new restaurants that weren't open before. This past weekend, they dumped a whole bunch of availability in with restaurants that were closed leading up to this. So things are starting to open, but we're still nowhere near the capacity that it used to be. And it's not something you need to be concerned about. You're going to be able to go. It's funny, you know, when I thought about how Disney would reopen, I thought there would actually be a ton of attractions that were just closed.
Same.
Because the number of casts that it took to operate the attractions and things like that. At the end of the day, you really have to look at cost, you know, what you're bringing in versus what you're putting out. But they haven't. They've made the experience so great. And are character interactions different? They absolutely are different. We've talked about this. But in some ways, they're actually so much more unique and interesting. And I love that they're bringing out characters that you don't get to see all the time. That's a really cool thing, too. So I think there's so much opportunity to find magic here that you're expenditure, your cash outlay, you're getting a lot of bang for your buck right now. And I think that will continue. We haven't even heard whisperings about them increasing capacity at this point. And so I would take advantage of it this year, because who knows what will happen in the years in the future.
Yeah, I think if you're you know, not scared to travel, that it's going to be one of those things. If you don't do it and you're like a big Disney fan, you're going to kind of maybe 2-3 years like, I wish I would have just went for that unique, because yes. It's such a unique time. Just to be there during this time.
It is.
All right. One of my good guests over here, Christopher, and he had a question because he's going to be heading down to Caribbean Beach, and he asked me to throw this on the show this week, so here we are. He's staying at Caribbean Beach, said, I haven't stayed at Caribbean Beach in quite some time, so I'm curious what buildings you'd recommend for a room request. Thinking I'd like to be close to the Skyliner with 2 or 3 days being at parks on the line, but is there somewhere that's a good balance between the Skyliner and the main building? Also, is Caribbean Beach on a direct line to Hollywood Studios? We'd like to take a shot at getting on Rise, and I heard about your fiasco with the switching heading to this park. With the park opening at 10, when does the Skyliner start running? Any help in the above would be greatly appreciated. So I pulled up the map on the mouseforless.com, and I'm looking around. And the thing is, I mean, okay, so obviously Here's my best advice, and I've said this for years, Pam, because I learned it from you, honestly. It's not to ask for a section of the resort. It's mm-hmm. to let them know what you are looking for. But you got to prioritize. If you say something like what, and I'm not getting on crisp, I'm just, this is kind of like my old school teacher in me. If you say, I want to be close to the middle of the resort, or I want to be close to the Skyliner, it puts the cast member in a rough spot because you can't be in both. You know, you got to say, right. really, you got to kind of pick one or the other. You could put yeah. both, but I mean, it's you're when you put both, you're kind of leaving it up to the discretion of the person. If you say, I'd really, and again, these aren't guaranteed, but Disney does a really good job with the room assignments I've seen. And like, say, if you want to be next to the Skyliner, just put this being, you know, Skyliner, being close to Skyliner is very important to me. You know, can we make that happen? And they're going to mm-hmm. put you close to there. If you want to be close to like Center Town or something like that, say that. You know, I wouldn't even put a village. You can look at the map and so forth and see like Jamaica, Aruba, Trinidad, wherever you want to be. And you could do that, but I like to say what I'm looking for because it gives the cast member, the room assigner, more leeway. I don't, Pam, what do you think as far
That's absolutely how I feel. I mean, I, you know, people are often like, well, I want to do this, but I want to do that. So I'm trying to pick this building because I think it will be that. And I am always I give the same advice. Put in your room request what's really important to you and pick the first thing that's important to you that goes first. Pick maybe one other thing. I would not pick more than two. Mm-hmm. You should see sometimes we get people who have a room request that's like this and they want to include a room number. And I'm like, oh, bless your heart. Please don't do that because that may not happen for you. And then you may get something that, you know, the cast member and their desire to try to meet that put you somewhere that they think it's going right. to be, and it's right. completely not.
Well, two, and if like you put a room number, and that room number is already occupied, then the cast member could be like, "Well, didn't get that request, so you know you're at the opposite end of the resort." Where if you just right? said, "I just want that, yeah. you know, that area of the resort," they could fix that because I don't exactly. think, you know, they have so many rooms to assign. I don't think they, you know, spend 10 minutes on every room assignment.
It's true. And I will say, too, that unless you're in a pirate room, you are not going to be located in those buildings that are the furthest away from things. That's not happening right now. And I know that Caribbean Beach sort of seems to be an expansive resort, and that's sometimes feedback that we hear. But honestly, there are no buildings that are that far away from things. There really, truly aren't. So take a look at the map and kind of get a sense for where things are. But even if you're by the Skyliner, you're not going to be that far away from Center Town. And the other thing is that they have an internal bus system that allows that to happen. So, you know, I think that you'll be able to find something that you really like. And the great thing about Caribbean Beach, which is making it more desirable than ever, it is that it's sort of the hub for the Skyliner at this point. You get to go there and you get to pick where you're going to go based on, you know, what's important to you. And you can choose either line right there and you're going to end up exactly where you want to go. You don't have to transfer. You don't have to make any of those things. So it's the hub and you're lucky for that. And I think, you know, we're going to see when things start to really open back up the whole way, I think the desire to be at Caribbean Beach is going to be much greater than it has been in the past. People are going to realize, first of all, what an awesome resort it is. I mean, that theme, you step onto Caribbean Beach property and you know you're on vacation. You feel somewhere tropical. There's great Calypso music playing. Yeah, like, they should hand you a drink the second you walk in there, right? Because it's like, oh, I am on vacation. It's so lush and tropical. It's actually the first moderate resort that was built on Disney property. So some of that foliage is humongous. And again, furthers this whole theme that you're somewhere tropical and it's going to be awesome. So the rooms are just a smidge bigger at Caribbean Beach than they are at the other moderate resorts. And they really have a cool theme. They've been redone in the not too distant past. So go and enjoy Caribbean Beach. I think you're going to love it.
And you're a direct shot to both Epcot and Hollywood Studios from Caribbean Beach.
You are. And the Skyliner has been operating about half an hour prior to the park opening. They do allow you to get in line about an hour before park opening. That's what's happening right now. Of course, that could change tomorrow morning. Mm-hmm. So what you're going to want to do as soon as you get there is talk to the cast members, not just at your resort, but I would talk to a cast member actually there at the Skyliner station because they're going to have the most up-to-date procedures. Tell them exactly what you want to do, and they'll help you with that.
And it opened at 9 for a 10 o'clock opening at the studios. So You had an hour, but you're cutting off half of the crowd by staying at Caribbean Beach because you don't have the folks hopping over and you got that less hop. So, yeah, you will not. If you're Caribbean Beach and you're just on the ball and you're out there, you're not going to have any problem getting to the park before park opening. It's just, you know, and I wouldn't have either if I'd have just lined up sooner. I just decided to get breakfast at the last minute and threw me off, you know. Stomach talks, man. I'm just saying. Okay, let's see here. Let's get these questions that I missed in the chat. Bethany's asking, weird speculation here. Will most of the parks, mainly the Magic Kingdom, be decorated for Christmas the week before Thanksgiving? So right now we're kind of in that, you know, I've seen a couple of decorations go up in the Magic Kingdom for Halloween, like in the last day or two, but not a lot. And again, the Halloween parties would have started by now if we were in a normal year. So what's the speculation, Ricky? What do we think about decorating for Halloween and Christmas?
I mean, usually the Magic Kingdom, of course, would be decorated by that point because it would be having Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party. So, and of course, as we know, Mickey's Very Merry is still in limbo right now. My suspicion is it will be canceled. But with that being said, they're still going to want to decorate for Christmas. So I think you'll be fine. I think that they will at least be partially decorated by that point for Christmas.
I mean, shoot, Walmart's almost got Christmas trees up right now. You know, yeah, by the week before Thanksgiving, I think you'd see some Christmas decorations for sure.
I mean, yeah, it may take them a little longer to do some decorating because, you know, social distancing and stuff like that, you know, because usually they do all that decorating in like one night and, you know, they have huge teams of people. So I don't know that it will happen as quickly as it has happened in the past. But, you know, you'll definitely see something, I'm sure, at that week before Thanksgiving time period.
All right. Marlessa's got a question here in the live chat. I like this. Hey, BOGP crew, if each of you had to pick one, which of the following do you think will return to Walt Disney World first in some form and why? So what do we think we're going to get back first? The dining plan, fast pass, non-distance character meet and greets, ticketed events like the parties we just spoke of, or extra magic hours? So let's just go with that. Which one of those... That's a tough call. Do you think you would get first? So I'm looking. I'm going to go with, out of that list, probably ticketed events. Mm-hmm. Because you can limit capacity. There's no need to be close. It could meet, you know, the rules that they have to do for capacity. I would say that. Pam, what do you say?
So I think there are tons of opportunities for ticketed events to return. And I think that there are people who have the desire in spaces and times where they're not able to allow the whole crowd or the number of guests that are in a certain park to participate in something. I think there's a definite desire on people's, you know, list of like, I want to do that. I would pay to do that. Tours, things like that. But I also think that we're going to see the dining plan return. I cannot tell you how many of our guests are dying for some kind of dining plan to return. Like, I touch my watch again. Of course, Mickey has to speak up. I don't know why. I've done that in the past two
Good
or three
afternoon.
Podcasts. I know, right? So anyways, and I think that we will see the dining plan come back in some way. I'm wondering if there's an opportunity for counter service to come back, first of all, and then also the new Disney Dining Plan Plus, because those are credits that can be used at both table service and counter service so people could get their money's worth. Every week when I have a meeting with Disney about things, I say, please bring the dining plan back because we have so many guests who want that. Mm-hmm. And actually had guests cancel their vacation because they could not add a dining plan. That's how passionate people are about this. So I think that Disney's considering it, but as you know, with all things Disney, they're really being thoughtful about the way that they want to bring this back, and they want to make sure that it's not a situation where it's causing guest disappointment. And I think they're going to do it in the right way. So
agreed.
Those two, I pick two. You know, I get to pick two. I almost always pick two. So,
and I mean, it's time. Disney needs more revenue. Those would be both things that would bring in revenue. So
for sure,
and also
sure.
Guest satisfaction at the same time, which is a win-win. So, Ricky, what do you say out of those same things?
I was going to go the exact same two that Pam said. Yes, I think that the extra events are, again, a great way because you can definitely minimize crowds. I mean, during those events, I mean, heck, you know, the events half the time were like they are right now. You know, the parks mm-hmm. were just like they are now.
Right.
Without, you know, social distancing. So with less people. So I absolutely think that that would be a possibility. And like you said, Mike, extra revenue. They're always looking for the ability to make extra revenue right now. That's certainly something that they're needing. So I think that's kind of a no-brainer. And then the dining plan. Those are the things that I think are the two easiest things for them to bring back. Like Pam was saying, you know, the dining plan, so many people are requesting it, and it's the only reason I, in my understanding, that they got rid of the dining plan. Well, one of the main reasons is because of the capacity for the restaurants. You know, and I think that they're starting to get a handle on the capacity for the restaurants, especially with them adding restaurants, like Pam mentioned as well. I know they added Tepanito this week. So, you know, and there are other restaurants that have been added too. So I think that with having those, you know, with having those things, I think that having getting the dining plan back sooner rather than later is going to happen.
So. I agree. All right. Daniel Cisneros, who I remember Matt Hotchberg from way back in the day, saying from Las Cruces, New Mexico, when he would write into the old show. He says, if someone did not have a phone or device, would they be able to order food and or do Rise of the Resistance? Pam, good question.
So food, they have you covered there.
You get a star? That's barbaric. I didn't think
yeah,
that.
Right?
I know, right? So it's definitely to your advantage to use mobile ordering for any kind of quick service. But if you do not have that ability on your phone, you can go up. There is a cast member located by the entrance, almost every location, that will be able to help you figure out what to do in that case. Rise of the Resistance is a bit more challenging in that part. I do not know that they have anything that would permit you or allow you to get that. It's a very closed system. It operates almost exclusively through the app. And I do not think that they have something set up to deal with that if you do not have that. You could talk with guest services. I would want to talk with them the day before, because that morning, I don't even know that you'll be able to do that. But maybe you want to find a friend that has that and let them become their friend and let them make reservations for you.
You'd be like, I'll buy you some Backlot Express, man, if you hook me up with the morning group. That's what
there you go, right?
They do have the guest experience team in Disney's Hollywood Studios as well. And again, I would talk to them ahead of time. The problem is that the park is opening at 10 and the reservations are going live at 10, and they are going like
quick.
I mean, I've heard 10 seconds. So, you know, if you're not on the app and, you know, at, you know, 10 o'clock exactly, your chances of getting it are very slim. We didn't even try this weekend. Like even though we could have been at the parks by 10, it was just, it was a hectic morning, and I just said, forget it. Let's just not worry about it, because you know, there was the chance of, you know, in 10 seconds of not being able to get it. So I was like, forget it. So I've written it and I was like, okay, that's fine for me right now. So
I got there at 5:30 in the morning to ride it.
Yeah, I know you did. It's fine. I love the attraction. Don't get me wrong. I think it's a great attraction. I think it is probably the coolest attraction in Orlando. And that says a lot, because for me, it was Spider-Man before that. So, you know, the fact that Rise has taken that spot from Spider-Man, which had been there for so long, is a big deal. But there was too much going on. So, and when it was too, we had to leave, you know, on Sunday, we had to leave early. So I didn't even try for the 2 o'clock time slot either, because there was just no way. But, you know, next time we'll see how it goes.
All righty. Let's see here. So we have a couple more questions. Let's see. Deborah in the live chat says, can you use refillable mugs at the pop? Yes. And they have them for sale, but you got to buy them in the gift shop. It's a little cash register between the gift shop and the food court, because they're not selling anything in the food court. Everything's mobile order. You just grab your sack. But I think what they're doing, I didn't buy one this time, but I think what they're doing is you buy the refillable mug and then you just show it to them and they give you like a soda and a cup and you can pour it into your mug or not.
I think that's right.
Keep it pristine.
Yep.
But they don't have the Skyliner awesome mugs right now. They have Star Wars ones, which are cool, but that makes mine a collectible. Just saying. No, because we had that conversation on the live show Sunday night with Alfred. He wants that bad, and sorry, but I only bought one, and it's got my, you know, It's got my Coke Zero remnants all over it. So what can you do? All right. So, and we have another question. Let's see here. Lots of comments, comments, comments. And where'd it go? I always lose them. And here it is. It's Dan. Is there any possible chance that the rule about the, let's see, is there any possible chance that the rule about those with disabilities having to wear a mask changing? It's the only thing holding us back. We'd be there, but our 70-year-old son cannot wear one. We'd never leave him behind. I totally get that. From what I'm seeing, I would say that no, because of local and state guidelines and restrictions, because I have seen where Disney has churned folks away, no questions asked, like right at the gate. So I think that's something that is a hard, just because of the current situation, they just can't have leeway, I think, because then they would open up a can of war. And I totally understand where you're not saying anybody's trying to game the system, anything like that. But I think Disney has to just kind of right now at this point have a hard set rule, because it's just the time, sign of the times. It's so sad. I mean, Pam, we've seen it on social media. They've turned people around right at the gates.
They have. And their position has been firm since the beginning that you do have to wear a mask if you are over the age of 2 and regardless of a disability issue. And the reason I've seen on that has to do with they just don't have leeway in this space. Mm-hmm. There were certain conditions they had to agree to, and that's what it is. I'm sorry, Deanne. I wish I had better news. Same. For you, but that's what it is right now, and I don't want to see anyone go there and be disappointed. We did see it got a lot of play in the social media last week. I think there may have been a little bit of an ulterior motive there, but I'll try to keep that one to myself. We won't get into a debate. Not that people don't have legitimate concerns about that. That's not my issue. I think that there is an agenda there, and I understand it, but not necessarily think that's the best way to go about it. So,
and this weekend when I was there, you know, I actually did see cast members telling people, you know, pull up your mask. They were, you know, even when they were just sitting down, you know, on benches or whatever, if you were not actively eating or drinking at the time, they absolutely, you know, multiple times I've saw them say, you need to have your mask over your nose and your mouth. And, you know, there are a few relaxation stations in the park, in all of the parks in different locations. And you can take your mask off there. And some are air conditioned, some are not. So just, you know, keep that in mind too. I mean, you have to wear it at all times. Matter of fact, they yelled at Brian a couple times. So because Brian, one who kind of goes under the nose a little bit. So, just the way his mouth,
Brian is such a bad dude.
I know. He has a homemade mask that my mom made, and her she had the tiniest little, you know,
It doesn't fit his grill. Yeah.
And it doesn't fit his face totally. So it'll sometimes fall under his nose.
See that rebounds because look at this. Brian's like, he gets this mask from Donna and Donna's all proud of it. And he says, this thing isn't going to fit my grill, but I don't want to make Donna feel bad. So I'm going to wear this thing and get yelled at multiple times at Walt Disney World just to save Donna's feelings. I mean, see, now he's a good guy again. It just all turns around.
Mom found another mask, the style that worked out better. And so that was her very first one that she did. And then she did a second trial at it and those were better. He likes those. He likes the masks my mom made. I guess they were a little more breathable. I'm not sure. But so he's perfectly happy in the second version of the mask, but he still has the first version.
it was 7 layers thick, you know, and made for a 2-year-old, but he still wore it all day, almost passed out, you know, but he's like, I don't want to hurt Donna's feelings. Yeah, Brian's good guy, I guess.
Yes, exactly.
We're going to sneak in one last question for Alfred because he's Alfred. He says, if you could go anytime in September, what week is best and where would be the best value to stay? Okay, I got the second one, Pop Century.
Yeah, of course.
Because it's the only one open right now.
That's your only choice.
I have 100% accuracy on my part. I would also say the week after Labor Day traditionally is a good time to go.
Mm-hmm. Right? I say any weekend.
Yeah, it doesn't really matter.
September at this point, I think it's going to be just fine. September has always been one of my favorite times to go. You know, it has always been a little less crowded, and this year I think it'll be, you know, even more so. So,
I think so too. You'll be able to enjoy the pool and exactly. the parks, which I think is important.
100%. Yep. All right. Well, let's get to the big announcement. That's it for the questions today. Thank you for sending those. And you can send those to mike@brguestpodcast.com and just put listener question in the subject line. We'll get that on the next show. But one of the things I've been wanting to do, and we've been experimenting with this with the patron group over the last week. We've added the lizard group as the second group, and now we're going to have what's called a Discord server for the podcast as a whole. You might say, Discord server, what's that? I said the same thing. I had no idea what this was. Thank God we have a lot of smart listeners that helped me through this over the past like week to 10 days. But I'd heard about it with other communities, other podcasts, like especially usually tech podcasts that I listen to, not necessarily Disney ones. What it is, back in the day with our podcast, and I like saying back in the day because we're old. We've been around a long time. We had those old V-Bulletin message boards that yes. were incredible. We had the like little header at the top that would have like ghosts at Halloween. Remember, we had like,
yes,
like Christmas scenes.
Yes, you did fantastic
Keith.
With those.
Oh, I
yes.
love those. Those were my favorite things.
The Christmas display
yeah, Christmas
where
and
every
snow.
Time,
yes.
like each week, we'd see a different part of the display be revealed.
Yes. Yes. Oh, God, I miss those days. I totally yes. miss, like, you know, Valentine's Day, all that. Anyway, if you weren't around back then, you missed out. I'm just saying.
You missed out a lot.
So I've been missing that, like, you know, and I know we've gone past, this was way before, like, you know, the social media really took off. It was before Facebook was as big, Twitter, Instagram, all that stuff. You know, it's just kind of a way to get together. But what I miss is kind of the real-time conversations that kind of went on all the time, sharing pictures, sharing memories. So what we set up was, it's called a Discord server. And what it is, if you're an old-timer, you might remember something called IRC, which was Internet Relay Chat, which was like the very first chat rooms. It's kind of like that, and it's going all the time, but you can share all kinds of stuff. It's very up to date. You might say, oh my gosh, I don't need another thing in my life. Just check it out. We have the link in the Facebook group at brguestpodcast.com, or sorry, facebook.com/brguestpodcast, or just go to brguestpodcast.com, scroll down on the right side. There's a link. It says join the Discord or whatever, and it's got our three pictures, a little cartoon. So click on that. Just give it a shot this week. It's kind of fun to talk with other listeners of the show. Talk about your trip planning. You know, I'm in there all the time during the day. Ricky might be in there. Pam might be in there. Who knows? We're just going to, you know, just if you want to talk to somebody, if you have a question, it's kind of cool to see what's going on. And we have listeners all around the world. So, you know, while it's middle of the night here, you could be talking to somebody from Australia, Japan. We have listeners everywhere, the UK. So just check it out. It's kind of a new way just to get community going and just a fun little tool. So check it out. Just go to brguestpodcast.com. And click the little tab thing on the right or the Facebook page. There's a link there at the top as well. So give it a shot. We'll see how it goes. I like talking to folks. It's kind of fun. But I will warn you, warning, it's a time suck. I mean, I'm just saying, it's like, I've been like, I need to get back to work. It's 15 minutes now. I got to get back to work. So just saying, use it at your own precautions. I'm just saying. All right. Don't forget today's show brought to you by the Magic for Less Travel. When you want to go to your Disney destination, and really now's a good time to go this fall, this winter. But if you're, you know, waiting for 2021, that's awesome as well. Just drop by themagicforless.com today. Check out all the great trip planning tools. And while you're there, very important, fill out that quote form. Mention the Be Our Guest podcast. We'll put some numbers together for you, check that availability, give you all the information you need. And then we'll plan that next vacation together and we'll make it awesome. I'm telling you, Ricky just got back. She said it was awesome. I just got back. It was awesome. So moving forward, you can have a great trip. You know, I can't say it enough. It's a great time to go. So check them out today over at themagicforless.com. Also use our Amazon affiliate link if you don't mind, brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. If you want to become a patron of the show, we have a Discord just for our patrons, and that thing is crazy. It's fun. We're talking Big Brother on it today. I know. Nobody cares, right? But yeah, it's a sad week in Big Brother. Oh, sad fiddle if you watch. Anyway, we're talking about that and all kinds of other Disney stuff as well. Patreon.com/brguestpodcast. Instagram and Twitter at brguestmike and at brguestpod, and of course Facebook and YouTube. Just search for the brguest podcast. All right, time to get back to work, but we're going to be back again on Friday, and we're talking ABD, right? ABD. You know what ABD is? It's Adventures by Disney. You probably didn't see that coming, right?
Uh-huh.
You did. And that's what we're talking about. So if you've ever wanted to travel, see the world with the under the Disney umbrella, as they say, or even, what about like the Grand Tetons or Rocky Mountain National Park? What if you want to go to Wyoming or see Disneyland, but like a VIP? Adventures by Disney can help you do that. And we're going to talk about that on Friday. So come on back for that. So until then, for Ricky and Pam, I'm Mike, wishing you a great Wednesday. Time to head back to work, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at brguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.